Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target and our special year-end episodes.
Yeah, this is the best of 2013.
Yes.
And in honor of such, we have a special guest on the Skype with us right now, actually. It's Derek from D-Train Games.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are
Pretty
you doing,
good, man?
Not too bad. I just got to let you guys know I was jamming while the theme song was playing.
Nice.
So that's a nice awesome little drum ditty you got there.
Thanks. We have a drummer we bring out each week to play it.
Yes, he's sitting in the corner. He's like in the closet right there. It's a wonderful sounding closet, isn't it?
He is. Yeah, he is a professional because it sounds exactly the same every time.
He's like a robot, man. It's crazy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool. So this is going to be a little different episode. Kind of like, we're coming up on Christmas right now, and maybe you're listening to this as you're driving down the road to your family's house.
Yeah, maybe you've got a bag full of gifts. Like maybe you're Santa in his sleigh. Like maybe he's listening to this as he's flying around the nation.
I'm sure he is.
I'm really nervous if Santa's listening now. So that's
better not say anything strange. Cause we better have the same picks that Santa would have, because I mean otherwise,
if my game of the year doesn't correlate with his, I'm afraid I might get on the naughty list.
That's some coal in that stocking.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. All right. So let's kind of dive right in. Like I think we're going to talk about some movies first and some television, then get into some games.
Yeah. So as far as, let's just kick it off with some TV. Let's start with the small screen.
All right.
And go from there. So as far as TV goes, what are you guys digging on this year? Obviously we're halfway through the TV season.
Yeah.
But we can, we can talk about like some of the new shows maybe, and then some of the returning favorites.
Yeah. Well, for me personally, no TV show has come anywhere remotely close to Breaking Bad's final season.
Oh, yes.
I caught up on the show on Netflix like most other people did, and I was sweating. I was out of my mind, out of control every single week, just coming up with these great episodes with great writing, great acting, great cinematography. And I mean, it's about the best season of TV that I've ever seen in my life, and they just they really took it out on a high note.
Yeah,
yeah. I know a lot of people who got into that, and they have the same sentiment. Like they're like, man, this is the best like television series I've ever seen. And
yeah,
I'm like,
guys who I know that are usually like really hard on television and things have told me before, it's like maybe they had one or two episodes that were odd in the entire series. Like, and so it's like, that's an incredible record for a show to have. And, and supposedly, I haven't seen it. I'm waiting for the whole thing to come out so I can just, binge watch it all. Hopefully, as far as I know, like the final episode ended up, pretty much how everybody wanted it to. It was one of the most loved, I would have to say so far, one of the most loved finales that I've heard of in recent history. So everybody kind of yells about. So,
yeah, it ended exactly the way it needed to. I feel like, there was a little bit, Walt kind of got his way a little bit, but the damage had already been done, and which had been shown in a previous episode called Ozymandias, which is one of the greatest, probably the greatest television episode I've ever seen.
Nice.
And it just, everything was coming together in the end. They closed all of the, looming questions that people had, kind of the lingering questions throughout the series. They had it all wrapped up by the end, and I couldn't have been more satisfied with the final season of Breaking Bad than I was.
That's great. Awesome. That's great. Awesome. So that's probably your pick of the year for television.
Absolutely.
Okay. So moving from there, Chris, what would your pick be for this year? I mean, are you gonna, go into something new? Maybe is there a new television show that you're super excited about, or is there something, that was returning that you're still rolling on?
Yeah. So, obviously, like this television season last year was really, really good. I think like the series that I was most into at the beginning of the year was Homeland, and that was a great series. I have yet to watch the entire season 3 that just aired. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing how that goes. As far as just the newest shows that I've liked, I really like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's been like my jam.
Yeah, I would agree. It's probably my favorite comedy that's on right now. Probably in my opinion the best comedy on television right now.
Yeah, it's just consistently new and fresh, and it feels like a classic sitcom. You know, like it feels a lot better than most of the shows that are on television.
Yeah, and it feels better. And this is the first season too, where it feels like a lot of comedies, more recent comedies, takes them like a season or so to get into it, to feel like everybody kind of has the natural flow of other characters and things. But right now, it kind of seems like everybody has it figured out.
Well, I will say that Fox is killing it right now. You know, they debuted New Girl, I guess, 3 years ago, and it's just gone full force, and it's hilarious, and now they have stuck this right before New Girl, and you know they're working it over there, and they're succeeding.
Yeah, the thing that I really like about Brooklyn Nine-Nine is that, you know, it's only had like 10 or 11 episodes, something like that.
Yeah,
and they've already like developed their characters a lot.
For sure.
You know, it seems like every episode at least one character has kind of a really big like character developing moment. Which is something that I really like about Parks and Recreation, which mm-hmm. is done by some of the same writers who do Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And, you know, just really early into the show, they're really developing these characters and the relationships between them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on top of that, they have really good jokes and really good comedy to go along with that character development. And it's something that I really enjoy seeing.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
What about you, John?
Well, as far as TV goes, I'm going to go ahead and, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of good new shows this season. I don't know. It's like overall, I've been really into the development of, I guess just new dramas, like, because they've been trying to like branch out with like Sleepy Hollow. It's like, I didn't think I would like that one. I think in our like preview of the TV season, I mm-hmm. even like kind of made fun of it a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's like it's been really, you know, pretty decent as far as a drama developing goes. I don't know. Overall, though, like Elementary is really good still.
Yeah.
I mean, like this season of Elementary is still like, I mean, it's still a consistently great show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I have a specific favorite more than I just kind of like the way things are going. Blacklist is really good.
This is a cop out, John.
This is a really big cop out.
This is a year end, like best of.
Okay. So if I had like at gunpoint, if I had to pick one, oh man, ah, geez, it's just a hard call. Because I look forward to every episode. I mean, I would have to say probably Arrow is probably my favorite one
still?
Right now. Still.
All right.
Yeah, it's like season 2, you know, it's like there's only been one bad episode in season 2. And it's like, and so I think that one consistently, like, it keeps building up to a certain point. And it's like, I just love superheroes as well. So it's like, it's got that factor of it.
All right, so for the shameless plug,
if
you want to know more about Arrow, we do a podcast called Arrow on Target every single week. On Wednesdays after, or actually it comes out on Thursday morning.
The day after.
Wednesday night, Thursday morning.
The day after it airs.
So, you know, if you haven't caught up with Arrow, catch up and then listen to the podcast.
Yeah. All right, cool. So moving on from kind of TV into the big screen, the silver screen.
So what's crazy about this year is I was like thinking about this earlier and I was thinking about movies that were this year and I'm like, man, that was really this year, like Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
Like, that was this year. I cannot believe. I mean, it seems so, like such a long time ago.
Oh yeah.
And you know, so Derek, like, what's your favorite movie of the year?
Well, I mean, there were a lot of pretty good ones. Mm-hmm. You know, I really enjoyed Kick-Ass 2.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed Thor: The Dark World, mm-hmm. which was way better than I thought it was going to be.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Dude.
But I would have to say, also shout out to The Hunger Games, Catching Fire,
which was
also exceptionally well done. But honestly, my movie of the year is the one that I spent about $35 on two tickets and ended up crying both times, which is Gravity.
Yes.
I was about to say, did you buy two tickets at the same, like for the same showing, or was that like I bought a ticket once and I saw it again, that sort of thing?
I set aside like $17 for an IMAX 3D ticket, like 2 weeks ahead of time. And then I went and saw it again with my parents, and we saw it in IMAX 3D.
Nice.
So, but it's just, I mean, that the movie is so effective in just, you know, it had great like moments of action and tension.
Yeah.
But it also just had like a very simple, but a very effective, you know, character story for Sandra Bullock's character. Yeah. And, you know, it was very blunt. It was very straightforward, but that's exactly what it needed to be for that movie.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, it did such a good job of telling that story. And I got caught up in it, and I wanted Sandra Bullock to get out of there alive. And so, yeah, I would have to say Gravity was probably my favorite movie of this year.
I agree. Like, that is totally my pick. Like, we didn't review this on the podcast, and I wish we had. Maybe we will once it comes out on Blu-ray. But
maybe look at some of the special features.
Yeah, watch some of the special features. That'll be a good idea. Oh, like, we'll review this when it comes out on Blu-ray. We'll talk about the special features, some of the behind the scenes kind of stuff. But if I was going to give that movie a rating, it's a perfect 10. Mm-hmm. Like, there is literally nothing I can find wrong with that movie. And out of all the movies, you know, like, both, you know, superhero movies, dramas, comedies that I've seen this year. And granted, like, we still have, like, the rest of December, and we have, like, Wolf of Wall Street, and I haven't seen, like, Saving Mr. Banks or those movies. But, you know, like, it is the best movie of the year. And like I said, you know, like, man, if you have not seen that movie, you need to – I'm a big proponent of IMAX. I know it's not in IMAX anymore, but if you can find it on any screen, like, you should go see it.
Yeah.
And on IMAX
and in 3D too.
Yeah, in 3D. Like, because the 3D, like, a lot of times on 3D movies, you know, it just doesn't matter. You know, like, we just saw The Hobbit, A Desolation of Smog. And like, the 3D on that, like, you could, it does not need 3D. You don't need to see it in 3D. It doesn't add anything to the movie or subtract to it if you don't see it in 3D. But Gravity, even though it's subtle, it just helps add to this, like, weightlessness and sense of space whenever you're you're watching the film. And
and something that we mentioned in the podcast for the Smaug, because the way 3D works, if you tip your head to one side or the other, it kind of gets blurry. So for a movie like Gravity, that you can literally look at it from any angle, a lot of times, it forces you to the director's perspective. The 3D did, and so it makes it that much more enthralling, because you see it the way the director wanted you to see it. So
exactly.
As far as my pick, I'm going to pick Gravity as well. I mean, this is three votes for Gravity.
And clean sweep.
I know, right? And and then the thing about Gravity to me is, somebody keeps asking me, you know, I've had it asked a couple times that, okay, if this wasn't in space, or if this didn't have like the technology aspect, the graphics and things like that, would it still be your pick? Would it still be a good movie? And it's like, I literally, you know, thought about it. And it's like, if I just told you step by step, you know, what happens in the story, just a step outline of the story, it would still be a great story. Like, the emotional development, everything down to from the beginning to the end, how you know, everything goes wrong, and how everything, you know, how it all ends up. So, I mean, it's like, it's still a good movie, regardless of whether it was in space, regardless of the visual effects or anything like that. It's a great film with a great storyline. And so, I mean, it's honestly, until this year, I would say that this movie, you know, it couldn't have been done, just because of the visual effects aspects of it.
Well, it took him like 5 years to make or something like that. Ever since Children of Men, he's been working on this thing.
I'm pretty sure. Wow. I mean, didn't they develop the technology specifically for this movie? Like, some of that?
Yeah, a lot of it. Which that's something I'm looking forward to seeing. Like, you know,
in the special features. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So that's my movie. We can maybe. You mentioned Iron Man 3. There's a lot of superhero movies that came out this year, both in the Marvel universe as well as in the DC universe.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to give a pick of your favorite superhero movie, maybe?
Oh, man. Yeah, let's
do that.
Have you
thought about that? I didn't even think about it. Derek, do you have any thoughts? What would be your favorite, like, superhero movie? And if you didn't see them all, no worries. But, you know, what was your favorite? Because we had Wolverine, too. I mean, there was a lot of movies, so.
Yeah, I saw, let's see, I saw Man of Steel, I saw Iron Man 3, The Wolverine, and Thor.
Yeah.
Which I think that was all of them.
Kick-Ass?
Kick-Ass as well. I mean, you know, I think I would have to go with Thor, honestly. Mm. Because the key thing that made Thor really good for me is that they realized that Earth is boring when you have eight other, like, dimensions.
Yeah.
And Asgard on top of that. So they spent very little time on Earth and very little time with Natalie Portman's character, which I also enjoyed because I don't like her character.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a crazy, like, sci-fi fantasy epic. And it was just, it was really great. You know, I got into it quite a bit. And, you know, I really look forward to the other stuff that they can do with Thor now that they've kind of established, you know, the other realms. And, you know,
That was definitely
also a special shout out to the scene with Loki when they're walking through the Great Hall and he turns into Captain America.
Yes.
That was fantastic.
That was amazing.
Nobody expected that. It was awesome. I love it.
Yeah, that movie is, like, as far as the Marvel Universe goes, that's my favorite movie of the year, superhero movie. You know, like, they nailed it on all levels. Like,
yeah.
I really enjoyed that movie. Like, I think my favorite superhero movie did you have something to say?
No, go for it.
My favorite superhero movie of the year would have to be Man of Steel. Like,
interesting.
I honestly think it's probably, like, about the same, like, I don't know, maybe a step above in my mind of Thor, just because I'm so happy to finally get a superhero movie. I mean, sorry, a Superman movie that I can get behind,
and yeah.
that, you know, actually feels like a Superman movie.
I could see that.
No, I did have some, you know, like, problems with just the crazy destruction in it. But other than that, like, I'm just happy to see Man of Steel on screen, and I'm really looking forward to the next one, seeing where they go with it.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. Those are the two kind of top ones in my mind, and it's kind of interesting that nobody has said, like, Iron Man 3 or whatever, just because, I don't know, it's like Iron Man 1 was such a great film, but I don't know, it's just kind of gone down from there, I feel like, with the Iron Man franchise.
I will say, though, I think Iron Man 3 was a better film than Iron Man 2.
I would probably, I could see that, because Iron Man 2 was just a replay of the first one, essentially, but, again, it's kind of a toss-up for me between those two, but I would have to lean more towards, I'm like Chris, I would have to lean more towards Man of Steel. If only because that is the type of movie that we haven't seen before with a superpowered person. Like, it was an emotional film. It was a drama. I mean, while, like, the Avengers and things like that, they have a very the Marvel Universe has a very specific style that they go for in all of their films. Whether it's Thor or whether it's Iron Man, they have a specific visual style and a specific kind of a vibe, even in, like, the script and in the dialogue. Whereas Man of Steel was something in a superhero film that we haven't seen before, more of a realistic take that wasn't a Batman. I mean, because Batman obviously was similar to this, but Batman doesn't have superpowers. Batman isn't, you know, the kind of guy that can, you know, knock down buildings, that sort of thing. So, I mean, I definitely feel like I lean more towards Man of Steel just because we haven't seen that type of a superhero in that type of a movie before. And so that's kind of just the originality factor of Man of Steel. I kind of lean more towards that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Man of Steel not really knowing a whole lot about Superman, or not really understanding the appeal of Superman. And I think that probably the first half of the movie did a really good job on selling me on Superman as a superhero.
Yeah.
But I thought the movie started out really strong, but then just really kind of got weaker. You know, I thought Zack Snyder just overdid the, we need 45 minutes straight of destruction and punching people through buildings.
Right.
Plus, I mean, just some really hammy dialogue at the end, I thought. But I'm kind of interested to see where they go with this Batman-Superman team-up, but I'm kind of wary because it can get out of hand really fast.
Right.
Because I think Zack Snyder is the director, like, sometimes he just doesn't know when to stop.
Right.
And he goes way too far. Exhibit A, go see Sucker Punch. Or
don't ever see it. But that movie, you know, I wish that movie just didn't exist.
Yeah. But, you know, just seeing that, you know, we're doing Batman and Superman and we're throwing Wonder Woman in there.
And probably the Flash. Like, I think we're getting the Flash probably as well.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is very quickly like DC just trying to get that Justice League movie out there so that they can compete with Marvel. Right. And, you know, it's probably my personal bias, but when Marvel has Joss Whedon handling everything, there's no contest.
Yeah,
but
there's no contest. And the thing is, they've had, you know, how many years now? Like 6 years.
Yeah.
To set all of this up, yeah. Marvel has. And
Even longer than that, if you consider, you know, Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man came out in like 2003 or 2004. That's true.
But that wasn't technically Marvel. That was Fox doing that.
Right.
Right.
You know,
but they kind of established their superhero brands.
Right.
You know, they didn't really have anything other than Spider-Man, but, you know, especially when Iron Man came out.
Right.
You know, that was kind of the big defining thing where Marvel just kind of took off. But they already had a little bit of momentum with Sam Raimi's Spider-Man movies.
Right. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, you're right. The Spider-Man movies and X-Men, you know, kind of just set the stage for larger these other superhero movies to succeed.
Right, right. And it also set the vibe for that universe, especially with Iron Man 1. It's like that set the bar. Like, it changed the way superhero movies will be made, you know, for a long time. You know,
as did Dark Knight. You know, like they both came out around the same time. I think they both really, really affected the superhero genre.
Yeah.
Cool.
Also, I would like to give a special shout out. There are two movies that came out this year that really just kind of indulged my childhood self.
Nice.
Which were Pacific Rim, which was just absolutely incredible.
Epic robot and, action.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. I saw it in the D-Box motion seats.
How was that?
Oh, I was literally like just sweating profusely by the end of it.
Yes.
And it's you know, because it kind of throws you around with all of the action that's going on screen. And so I had already seen the movie once. And so when I knew there was a big fight coming, I just had to like set down my popcorn and my drink and just grip onto the armrest and be like, okay. Here we go. Like, it's about to get real intense.
Okay, so this is my question. Like, say you had to take a big crap. Like, would this just rattle it out of you?
If you had it turned up to the highest sensitivity, probably.
That sounds like it could be a disaster.
Dude, this is like a roller coaster. It sounds like I want to experience this. I don't even know. Yeah,
it was absolutely fantastic. That was probably my favorite theater experience of the year.
That's amazing.
Was seeing Pacific Rim in the motion seats.
Where was this at?
This was at my local theater. Shout nice. Out to the Savoy 16 in Savoy, Illinois, which is just outside of Champaign.
Right on.
So that was really great. And the other movie that indulged my childhood that I really loved was Monsters University.
Yes.
Because The Monsters, Inc. was always one of my favorite Pixar movies.
Yeah.
And so just finally getting more, you know, it wasn't as good as the original, but it was still really well done. And just really
to be in that universe again, you know, it's just like, you know, kind of like I would nod to the Hobbit, where it's like just to exist in that universe, while it may not be as good as the original or whatever. Just to have some fun within that world. You know, it's something to go back to for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought Monsters University was a better companion to the original than The Hobbit was to Lord of the Rings.
Very true.
have you before we move on, I know this is kind of off topic, but we talked about this last week. Did you see Desolation of Smog yet?
I did. I saw it last weekend, I believe.
Did you enjoy it?
I thought it was pretty good. You know, I definitely, because I listened to your podcast and I you know, kind of found myself agreeing and disagreeing on some things. Mm-hmm. But the main thing that I took away from it was I liked how the stakes were higher.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they didn't really make it clear in An Unexpected Journey, like, what the stakes actually were.
It's true.
And so it was just like, hey, look, short people running around cliffs with giant rock monsters. Yes. And, like, that was the most tense part of the movie. Whereas this one, it's like, if we don't do this, like, Smaug is going to just rain fire upon the entirety of Middle Earth, and Sauron's going to come back. So we're just going to have our hands filled with problems.
Yeah. Right.
So I thought they did a really effective job of explaining and showing, you know, the actual stakes. But the thing that really kind of bugged me is, they did a lot of telling rather than showing.
Yep.
Which was something that was so effective about the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the sense that, you know, they were really trying to drag these movies out for extra money.
Yep,
for sure. Rather than actually, like, we've got this wealth of content that happens around the time of The Hobbit.
Originally it was supposed to be two, and originally it was supposed to break right before they go to Lake Town. That was the break of the two movies. Like, it was supposed to be, you know, essentially after the first movie, you would be at Lake Town, or right before he takes him to Lake Town, the bard does. So, I mean, it's like... I definitely got that vibe about it, where it could have been paced a little bit better, and then the telling rather than showing definitely had some of that in it for sure.
Like, the problem that Peter Jackson has is the fact that he just shoots so much content and thinks all of it is gold.
Yeah.
And I mean, and you know, granted, The Lord of the Rings, the extended version is my favorite to watch, but it's still, like, you know, all told, it's like 9 hours or something ridiculous. Yeah. 12 hours,
right.
12 hours of movie, and you know, if he had included,
but then again,
think
about the number of pages of book that was.
Which is true.
That's very.
And that's why that's better than these. I mean, isn't there an extended edition of the first Hobbit?
Yeah, there is. It's like an extra half hour.
Like, what? I don't even know. Like, is it just more of? Like, would you sit and watch Gandalf blow some smoke rings for like 10 minutes?
I don't know. It's like Jared said on the podcast. It's like, I would like to see what a shortened edition would look like of these films.
For right. sure.
Yeah, because the movies, you know, after seeing the first one, I was like, okay, that overstayed its welcome, but it was still all right. And then, you know, the second one just kind of made it clear that these are rough cuts that are being put out into theaters as, you know, this is the final product.
I can agree with that, too.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think they could benefit from cutting out, you know, just unnecessary stuff, or, you know, shortening scenes and
some of the explanation too. You know, some of what's going on. It's like, it seemed like to me there was at least three or four times in there that it was like I knew what was going on, and then right afterwards there was some dialogue between two characters that told us exactly what they just did. It's like, I feel like some of that was somewhat unnecessary. You know,
yeah, because the one part that really got me on the telling rather than showing was when the dwarves are all standing outside of, you know, the dwarf kingdom, and they hear kind of that rumbling.
Yeah.
And they're like, what is that? That's a dragon?
Is this an earthquake? No, there's a sleeping dragon inside, guys. Come on. We all know this is a dragon.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, he says, what was that? And then I think it was Balin said, that, my dear boy. And then he turns around and the camera zooms in on his face and he just says, was a dragon.
I agree.
That was one of those shots for, like, they literally shot it going, this is going to look great on the trailer, you know? And it's like, it should have never ended up in the final film. Should have just been like the trailer shot. That was a dragon. And then that doesn't actually happen. I'm okay with that, you know?
Yeah. Like, you guys have been talking for about 5 hours of movie that you're going to face a dragon. But it's like, no, your first thought is it's an earthquake.
Right. Yeah. For sure.
They have to over-dramatically tell us that it is not, in fact, an earthquake, but a dragon.
That's hilarious.
So,
oh, man. I agree.
Well, let's move on from The Hobbit, though. Like, since we talked about that last week, we'll move on. But, yes, those are great, great points.
I love it.
So, before we move on to our next segment, John, for briefly, do you want to talk about some comics that we've read?
Yeah, as far as some comics go, man, there's an incredible run from Francis Manapul and Brian Buccellato of The Flash that just ended in November.
Yeah.
That would probably be my pick of the year, just because they did such a good job with that comic. Everything from the art all the way down to the story, they created a world of characters surrounding Barry Allen, The Flash, that would bring out different aspects of his personality. And each one, you know, turned a different card over, turned a different value over from his personality and from his persona as the Flash, and developed him into a more mature character. Because whenever we first started off, I mean, he was a relatively new character, and everything there. So I would say that that's probably my pick for this entire year. Yeah. And in fact, they did this was their 25th issue, and so it was the last 2 years, I would say, since the beginning of the New 52. That's consistently been on top of my pull list, where. You know, there hasn't been, in my opinion, a bad issue of that. Everything down from the pencils to the inks to the art, you know, Brian colors it. And so that enhances the experience. One of the writers actually colors it as well. Mm-hmm. Everything down to the layouts, they had some really unique layouts that they had where they would stretch. If you know, essentially if you got like four or five issues, it would be a seamless image from one, all the way from left to right. There's some really cool stuff there. They had some really awesome looking covers, very simplistic, but they're moving on to Detective Comics, so I'm super excited to see that. Might be my pick next year, you never know. Detective Comics, their run on that might be it. So just because I'm interested to see how they take on the Dark Knight from this kind of bright, happy world of the Flash, with the fun-loving, you know, even the Rogues were like, they had an element of fun to them. But it's like, I would like to see how they do in the Batman universe. So we'll see.
Cool. Derek, did you read any graphic novels or comics this year that you really thought stood out?
The couple of comics that I read were the X-Men Days of Future Past issues from 1981.
Nice.
Was that in preparation for the movie? Is that kind of what you were doing?
Yeah. One of my friends had kind of the trade of the Days of Future Past kind of series. And so I was going out to L.A. and I was on the plane and I read those two, like, Days of Future Past storyline issues. And it was really good, especially considering that I read the first one in the trade, and it was some crazy, like, transported to Dante's Inferno with gypsies and Nightcrawler, and I had no idea what was going on.
Nice. You just jumped in. You were just like, I'm diving into the deep end of this.
Yeah, I was like, wow, this is an 80s comic for sure. But I ended up just skipping ahead to the two issues that are kind of what the movie next year is going to be based on. Yeah. And I really enjoyed it. It really was very much ahead of its time and is more like modern comics, minus the over-explanation of everything that's happening.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed those. But unfortunately, those are the only comics I read this year.
Did you? So. Did either of you guys see the teaser site for that X-Men Days of Future Past?
No, I haven't yet.
I haven't either.
I will. I'll post it in the description of the of this
podcast
on StayOnTargetPodcast.com. Cool. And it lays out like this backstory of how like Magneto is supposedly responsible for the assassination of JFK.
Of course he is.
And and it's got like extra like newspaper clippings and like video and stuff like that. Like,
that's awesome.
It's really, really cool. I'll post it I'll post it in the episode article on the website, and all right. We'll do that. I think for me, for my favorite, I think it's a comic book event of the year rather than a series. I really loved all the 3D comic covers by DC.
Mm.
That was awesome. I just loved, you know, just the way they looked. Like, I hope they do it again. Like, and I hope next time they do it, they find more 3D paper, because that was annoying.
Yeah, essentially they started that thing with a deficit. They only bought, they said they bought seven states worth of 3D paper.
Yeah.
There must not have been very much paper, 3D paper in those seven states.
Well,
so.
The problem that I have with, you know, like the comics industry just kind of in general is they try to create these sensational landmark events every single year. And, they do it as a money grab, basically. So, like, honestly, it would not surprise me if DC purposely did not produce enough 3D comics.
You know, I could see that. And honestly, there was a time, when was it? It was it was recently that's happened in the, in like within 3 years or so, DC's done the same sort of thing where they accidentally had a deficit of comics.
Accidentally.
I think it was the New 52. Whenever they launched the New 52, all of like certain types of issues were sold out just because they didn't print enough of them. And that may have been that they underestimated how many people would want, the Batgirl or something like that. But it's like some of those were hard to get a hold of, for sure.
Well, if they do, you know, like 3D stuff again, and they end up being short again, then we'll know that they're doing this on purpose, and we should all hate them.
You know, Marvel's actually going to renumber, as what I heard, is they're going to renumber all of their comics as well. They're kind of pulling a New 52 as you know, taking a cue from DC, sometime in the near future.
Are they just going to renumber them, or are they going to reboot them?
I think that they're, that's why they're closing down so many of their kind of the different universes that they have going on, is that they're at least going to relaunch some of those universes in completely new fashion, like just shut them down and do it again. So
cool.
There was one more nod that I wanted to make as far as graphic novels go. The Cardboard graphic novel was one of my favorites of this year. That's by Doug Tenapel, and that one, we did a review of that one, and it's just a, you know, I think you made the comment, and I loved this, and it's come to mind a number of times whenever I think about it. You said it's like a buddy comedy, but in the form of a graphic novel, and so that's why it kind of really stood out to me, was that it was unique in that aspect, where it was Doug Tenapel at his best with a buddy comedy type situation. Yeah. So,
I'll post a link to our review podcast of that in the article on StayOnTargetPodcast.com as well.
Nice.
So I think that's all we have for this week. Tune in next week. We'll have our game episode of end of the year. Best of the games
it's,
of the year.
It's all about the games.
It's all about the games. Yeah.
Pulling a VGHS type of thing there. It's all about the game.
Yes. So yeah. So anyway, that'll be up next week.
You can find us all on Twitter. My Twitter is JohnWright777. Chris's is ChrisWright250. And Derek, what is your Twitter?
My Twitter is @DTrainGames.
Awesome. And they can find your website, your blog at?
DTrainGames.wordpress.com.
Awesome. DTrainGames.wordpress.com. You can find all of our podcasts, as well as links to our YouTube channels and all of our Twitters, on StayOnTargetPodcast.com.
Everybody have a Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next time on Stay on Target.